This is Only We Matter Podcast. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jacqueline. Our desire is to bridge the gap between generations. Too often we segregate by age and lose the benefits of learning from one another.
Let's jump into today's conversation. Well, welcome back to our podcast, and we have some fun stuff ahead. We have done a few interviews, and Jacqueline did an interview with Kimberly Barnes, and she's going to introduce who Kimberly Barnes is. And you talked about some topics about who she was and what she writes about. So who is Kimberly Barnes? What does she do? What does she do? And why do we have her on the podcast today?
Yeah. So Kimberly Barnes is this really sweet, intelligent, little bit fierce kind of woman. And she is actually my cousin. And nice. I just really value her input. I value who she is, and I value where she has come from. And so that's why I'm so excited that we get to have her on our show, Only We Matter. So Kimberly and her husband, Mark, have started a blog, a parenting blog, and it's called The Not-So-Perfect Parents. And the truth is, I'm not a big blog reader. I really love their blog. It's no nonsense. A lot of old school mixed with some new generational type of information and experiences that they've gone through that they want to share with the world. And I really relate with them, and I agree with about 98% of it.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get the first bit queued up. We're going to do this in a few segments here. The first topic, you engaged with the blog about one of the topics. What was the first topic and why did you start there?
Oh, yeah. So our first topic that we really dove into was fearless parenting. And I wanted to know, what kind of risks do you take? Are you all no nonsense and like heavy handed, or are you like a free spirited, let's just see what the day holds? And in all honesty, if you know Kimberly, it's not going to be a free spirited moment at all, because that's not who she is. And that's what I really value about her. So it's not a negative thing at all. I just really like that she has a system and a routine, and she just puts it into place and tries to just make it work for her kids. And everybody just kind of falls in line because they don't know any different.
Awesome. Well, let's take a listen to the first conversation you had with Kimberly Barnes.
So Kimberly Barnes is my cousin, my first cousin, and I'm so excited to just be talking to her today, because I found out that she has written this blog with her husband about family. And I am really excited to hear how that started. How did you come to the point, Kimberly, of wanting to write a blog? Because a blog is not easy. I've been doing some research, and it's not easy to start a blog.
Right. Well, I feel like the idea for this has kind of been in our hearts for a long time, but I'm not sure we really knew how it was going to come out. About a year ago, I listened to a podcast where Levi Lesko talked about dying empty, and it really resonated with me, and both of us, Mark, felt the same way, that we had learned a lot about parenting. We've been married for 24 years, parents for 16, and we just felt like, you know, we value transparency a lot, and maybe it's time to just share our mistakes with the world and tell them what we've learned and offer really practical, easy to follow steps. Mostly it's targeted for families that have school age kids, but we discuss everything from growing kids with character to organizing your pantry to dating your spouse to teaching kids about money. So it kind of encompasses all things related to parenting school age kids.
Well, I have been to your site, and it is named appropriately the notsoperfectparents.com.
Yes.
And I love that you're just being honest. You're just not so perfect. And like full transparency, talking about that, as my cousin,
You are a little bit more type A than I am. Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm looking at your very organized, well-organized blog, and it is really done well. People would, thank it you. Would serve them well to go and take a look. It's just broken down into who you are and all your posts, but your posts are even divided into different sections and routines and finances and family fun and values and character. And I'm just really excited for our listeners to go over and take a look at your blog. So thank you for writing that and being so organized.
It's just essential for us. We have four kids, and if we're not organized about every aspect of life, it would just be total chaos. Well, it is already total chaos. Organization helps a lot. And that's been something that I have valued since I was little. I remember being in the stores with my mom and like organizing the displays. And, you know, when clothes were in the wrong spot, I'd like to move them. And now I have a very type A daughter who does similar kinds of things.
One of the blogs that you wrote was on fearless parenting.
Yes.
And let's talk about that, just about being risk takers and being fearless and how, you know, your blogs are really organized so well. I just love that you've got a paragraph about a specific topic. You've done really well. And I know that you're a teacher by trade.
Yes.
So it all just really fits really well. But tell me about that blog. And then let's talk about our families and the different generations about fearless parenting.
Right. Well, I'm not sure back when we had our first child that it was a decision we made. It was more just something we kind of grew into, where we recognized that he was not ours. He was on loan to us. And that fear is not healthy and fear is not from God. And so from the time he was little, people would say things to us like, you're so laid back about him doing things. And it just kind of became a way of life for us. We realized that we didn't want to say things to the kids like, oh, be careful and watch your step. And we wanted them to be able to trust their own bodies to do what they felt comfortable doing. And so that's kind of what it grew out of. When they were a lot younger, we realized that pain is a powerful teacher, that getting hurt is good. It's healthy. Your body will heal. It's the way you recognize I went too far and next time I'm going to do something differently. So just having what we call in teaching all the time, a growth mindset, being able to learn from your mistakes and being open to what you can do, maybe not yet, but what you will be able to do if you keep trying. So we encourage our kids to do risky things and to push themselves beyond where they think they can go. And part of that is that we love the exhilaration ourselves of doing something that was scary or that we maybe doubted that we could do. But also we feel like it just really builds confidence. And our kids have done some crazy things. And part of that is that they see Mark and I do stuff like that too. I mean, if we go camping, I'm going to be the first one off that rope swing. I'm not going to sit back and just take pictures. I mean, I will take pictures, but we just kind of just let ourselves go and have fun. And so our kids have only ever seen that modeled. So they don't tend to fall into that, you know, I'm afraid, I can't do this, I don't trust myself mentality, which as a teacher right now, I'm seeing a generation of kids that are very fearful. They don't want to do things. They don't want to take risks. I teach technology and they're not even willing to like touch an iPad in case they make a mistake. Like, show me, point to where I should touch. How do I do this? And to me, that's just really unattractive. We just want strong, confident kids that can take risks and make decisions and feel confident and empowered. So that's where that grew out of for us. It doesn't mean that we don't ever experience fear. Fear is a normal part of life. That's a God-given feeling, especially so you can identify danger. But it means that we don't let it control us. We don't make our decisions based on fear. And we pray a lot, and we just trust God that they're His, and He's going to take care of them. We wear bike helmets, and we would stop our kids if they were going to run into the street.
You stop them. You don't want them to get hit by a car.
It's not most days. Yeah. Not reckless. It's empowering for them.
I like that. Now tell me, did you grow up that way? Because I'm trying to think of how my parents taught me. How did your parents teach you? Did they teach you that? To be empowered and, well, no, I guess you kind of addressed it with your dad a bit.
Yeah.
But were your parents balanced, though, in that?
I feel like my parents were kind of unique when we were kids. They let us do a lot. And I know my mom has said they felt judgment from other Christian parents that, they would let us go to school dances and they would let us stay out late with our friends and they would put us on an airplane every summer and send us to camp in Bellingham. And they just gave us all kinds of experiences that just sparked some of that same passion for doing things and trying things and trusting ourselves to take a flight without our parents. And so, yeah, I really do believe a lot of it is how I grew up. And I didn't really think it was that special, I think, until I was older. And my mom would say, other kids didn't get to do the things that you kids did. And other parents tried to hold their kids in a little tighter. And it doesn't mean they weren't fearful. I'm sure they were scared to let us go. We didn't have cell phones and we'd be out late. Mm-hmm. And I know my mom would always ask us to come in and wake her up when we got home. And I'm sure that was because she wasn't really sleeping very soundly till she knew we were in the house. But they never said anything to us ever about being afraid. And I really appreciated that because they just kind of launched us into being adventurous kids and now adults. And it wasn't like we didn't ever talk about safety situations. It was more just, if you want the opportunity to do this, then we're going to make that happen for you.
Wow, that's really cool.
So Brandon, what was it that you liked about what she said? I mean, we can dive in, but let's just talk about growth mindset.
Yeah, so she really brought up that idea of a growth mindset that I think was really intriguing is allowing kids to recognize when they've gone too far and allowing them to grow instead of just always being so dependent, I think, on parents, cutting off when there's too much risk and saying that, be careful. She tries not to say that. And I know for me, and that's something I do all the time. Like, oh, be careful, because I have three daughters. So it's like, I don't want them to ever get hurt, but allowing them to make mistakes, allowing them to get hurt and allowing them to grow from that, to recognize that they went too far. And so I think that was intriguing to me. What did that look like maybe for you in raising your boys?
Yeah, I was not like that. I was definitely, I see the danger and I am going to protect you mm-hmm. from that. And I wish in hindsight, and it'd be really interesting. I think one time, down the road, we're going to bring my boys on because my boys, my grown men, because I want to hear their perspective on this. But, I was pretty protective of the boys. My growing up was different. Again, I was a latchkey kid, if anybody even remembers what a latchkey kid is. So, at the age of 6, I was coming home. I was all by myself for a couple of hours until the first parent was able to get home. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't feel like I had that parental parent or presence mm-hmm. In those early years. And there is no blame and no shame to my parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the way things were and it was a different time. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I wanted something different from my children. And my children were going to know that their mom was going to be there after school in the evening, tucking them in, waking them up in the morning. I was going to be there and I was going to protect them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what one thing she brought up was she was raised on allowing risk, where risk was a part of what they did, and what her parents did with her was allowed them to risk and stuff. And so, you know, I found it funny when she said, you know, like letting her kids go on a plane or being on a plane. And I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of risk, right? Just going as kids on a plane without parents. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know right now. I can't imagine it, right? My oldest is 5, but that seems like a crazy thing in my mind these days to do, but I guess some people do it.
Well, and you know, as you say that, and I say, no, I was pretty protective. I mean, we let our kids actually fly across the country by themselves. I'm trying to think of how old they were. They were under 12. Wow. And they both went together. Wow. I want to say it was like 10 and 7 or 11 and 8. They went on their own. Like, so we
and they're alive?
And they're alive.
Wow.
So it was such a great, it was a great moment in time because it was a generational thing. So Bill's uncle, he loved our boys. And he just said, after we had moved from Ontario to Alberta, he's like, I really want your kids to get to know their cousins out here. So I'm going to bring them out for a week. They're going to go to the cottage. They're going to hang out with their cousins. And then I'll fly them back. So he's like, people do it all the time. Don't even worry about it. So yeah, this mom worried about it. So I'm like, okay, I don't even know how this works. So the ticket was paid for. And then we just walked them through security and walked them right to the gate. And I hand over my beloved children to a complete stranger with WestJet or Air Canada, whichever it was. And that person took care of them, walked them onto the plane, and then I sat there with a few tears running down my eye, my face.
Just crying fully.
Listen.
Snot running down your face.
I was like, I was trying to keep it together. Like, and then they're sitting on this plane. I have no idea, because this is before cell phones, right? And and video, and I have no idea how they're being treated on the plane. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then they fly off and they're gone. I'm like, my beloved are gone. Like, where are my children? So, you know, I guess we did risk.
We did risk.
And I guess in the moment it didn't feel like a risk, but it was really fun to talk to Kimberly about those things, you know, and jumping on the trampoline or, you know, doing a zip line or, you know, she had so many great examples about how to just allowing her kids to risk and to not fear. And, you know, I think I really loved that moment where she said, I don't say be careful, because I said it all the time.
Yep.
Be careful. Oh, don't do that. Oh, be careful. And I think there's got to be a balance. There has to be a balance somewhere.
Totally. And I think it's like being confident without being fearful, right? It's like not letting fear control us. I love that she said this, that like we all have fear, but do we let it control us? I think in the end too. Did you ever watch Full House?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So we're rewatching it with our girls right now. And so this came to my mind because we were just talking about planes and kids. There's one episode where DJ is coming back from, it's where she meets Steve and finally hangs out with him. And the two younger girls are so angry at their summer. They're like, let's go on an adventure. And they jump on a plane, random plane. And somehow they get through security and are on a plane and they're going to Oakland. They think they're going to Oakland from San Francisco, and then they get on board and they're going to like Australia or New Zealand. There's an Oakland in one of those places, and so they're just like on there, and then they finally tell the parents and just like, what, this is a very long flight, this is not a short flight. And they just had the best time ever on this flight, and I was like, oh man, I would have puked.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't know how that happened, but that's too funny. And I'm really thankful that wasn't my kids.
Yes, me too.
you know, there has to be a balance, like we mentioned, because there has to come a time of when there has to come a time when the children understand that when their parents say, stop, don't move, that they understand that that's not a negotiable sentence. And the example that I gave my children is that many, many years ago, there was a missionary in Africa, and his son was walking ahead of him, and all of a sudden he yells out and he says, son, stop. And the son is like, what? And so he stopped out of obedience and respect, not knowing that there was a poisonous snake that was right in front of him or in, you know, close. He didn't see the snake, but the missionary dad did. And, you know, that has stuck with me even till today, because our children really need to understand in this new season of life that the parents aren't there to be killjoys. They are there for protection. They are there to help and to guide and to train. They need to know that when we say stop in a specific tone, that they understand, no, this is not a game. This is not a non-negotiable. This is, I'm going to trust you, mom or dad, because you see something I don't see. And it can start at any age. It's not about starting when they're 12.
Yeah, I think that's, what's important with that then would be not using it too often as well.
That's right.
So like, that's where the don't say be careful every second of the day comes in, because what's the difference between that and then a poisonous snake in front of you when it comes to your instructions, right? Yeah. Versus like, you know, be careful on that stool as they're washing their hands every day or something like that, to, right. Oh, it's a poisonous snake. There's a bit of a difference in importance of those. And so it's like, okay, well, let them learn the mistake of the stool and falling off the stool so that we don't have to say, be careful all the time. Let them know what risk is. And then those important times when we really need to say, stop, be careful, that they actually listen in those moments.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be a snake. Right? It doesn't have to be in Africa. It can be about crossing the road and not looking if there's a car coming. And that was one of ours. We, when the boys were growing up, when they were smaller in Ontario, we lived on a busy street. And so that was just really an important moment that they needed to understand. And so I think that's so wise. I think, you know, expressing the concern that could happen. So the stool example. If you're not careful, if you're going to fool around on the stool, you could fall and get hurt. I'm just letting you know.
For sure.
I just want you to know that. And then allow them to figure that out.
Yeah. That's really good.
I also remember there was a family that we knew many years ago, and they didn't say careful. They lived this risk free life and would allow if their child couldn't figure out that falling down the stairs was going to be harmful, they allowed that so that the child knew, if I play around on the stairs long enough, I'm going, and not careful, I'm going to fall down the stairs. And I don't know, I think there's also a little bit in there, right? A little bit of a balance. Totally.
Yeah, totally. That's really good. Well, it's a great conversation you had. And can you remind us where the blog is again?
Yeah, I love this blog. It is called The Not So Perfect Parents. And it's written by Kimberly and Mark Barnes. And you can find them on Facebook. And they also have their own website, thenotsoperfectparents.com.
Awesome. So check them out. And we'll continue our conversation next time.
Thanks for listening to Only We Matter. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Brandon.
Have a good one.